Being from Salt Lake City, I never wanted to move. Nothing against Texas. Texas is a beautiful place with wonderful, kind, warm people. I like it here. I always like it here. That's why I signed up for this, to come back and be with family and be home. But when they told me what the product was, and when I realized how real it was and how important it was and what kind of mission we could have behind that, it wasn't even a question. I went home and told my wife, and Heidi said, "We're moving to Texas, aren't we?" "Yeah, we're moving to Texas, and here's why." Okay. So what I wanted to share with you guys all today, and I sort of cheated because right here before was Jeff Bell's name, CEO, so I kind of stole some notes and stuff. But our assignment was to come give this presentation. Now, just so you know, this is Jeff Bell's presentation, but he did it in conjunction with the corporate leaders of Legal Shield. And one thing that when he gave us this presentation that really impacted on me is he said, he went out to the group. He went out to people like Kathy Pinson and to John Long and to Carrie Prince and to Alan Fernley, all the people broadly, and said, "Give me what you understand your vision is." And what he told us was that when he came back, everybody was aligned in this vision. They may have stated it slightly different ways. They may have, you know, used their own words. Excuse me, my mouth is getting dry. This is not normal for me. I'm the behind-the-scenes guy. Thank you. But this was consistent across the board with everybody contributing. Okay. So what 2020 means, it's our five-year plan. And our mission is this, and Mr. Branchen in his presentations echoed this so succinctly, I thought. To help people improve their lives by teaching life-transforming skills. I heard that today. I heard that last night. We're going to hear more of that later. I don't know what your backgrounds are. You know a little bit of mine. But the last 2.5 years have transformed my life, and it continues to do so. Okay? And to deliver exceptional products and services that promote peace of mind and confidence in a world that is oftentimes uncaring and selfish. Okay, what does that mean to you? I got to go meet with our provider law firm yesterday. They are literally across the street here in this blue building. This is the second firm I've got to visit with. Now, I got to visit with a lot of the providers in October at their provider conference, but I've been to two firms now. These are actual, real law firms with actual, real lawyers, the type of people who I wouldn't want sending me a letter, but who I would really want sending a letter for me. Now, just so I do have... When I moved away, I moved so fast, I didn't have time to sell my house down in Lehigh. So I got some renters. That was not the funnest experience in my life. I'm a better creative director than a landlord. But I had the provider law firm, when they got behind in rent, writing me letters. When it was time to renew a lease, reviewing the lease. When it was time to sell the house, going over the process of selling their house and dealing with deposits and things like that. So that I knew I had the leverage if anything went wrong. Guess what? Because I had them, nothing went wrong. It all went right. It was all peace of mind. It went all as smooth as could be. Okay? So that's how I feel. I feel that these are what we're striving for every day. Our values. I see this demonstrated every day, and I've seen this demonstrated today. We believe in the good of all people. I feel the goodness here. I feel it. We do the right thing when no one is looking. I see this in the office. If there's an easy way or the right way, we take the right way. Sometimes the right way is harder. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it's more expensive. But the right way is the right way. We give clarity to everyone's purpose to do the things they love to do and not what they have to do. I got to tell you, I love my job. I love being in the corporate side of this. But when I hear about how the successful associates out in the field get to manage their own lives. So I see you guys doing. I see you guys not only having time to do what you love to do, but loving what you are doing when you were working. It's self-evident. It's right there in front of me. It's a wonderful thing. And then we empower people's passions. And what I've been seeing, as Mr. Bell has asked us to go out in the field, is that you guys, this group, is passionate. what's more fun to do what you're passionate about every single day? That's why I told my dad I was getting a BFA. Why? I can write and design and draw and do all those things because I'm passionate about it. None of the other programs, my brother was a chemist. He went to medical school. He's my hero. I can't do those things. I couldn't find passions for him. If you guys can find passion in helping people, in developing people, that's what we're here to provide. Okay? So key questions. How do we get to this vision? Okay? What are the critical success factors to fulfill our creed? So, okay, this is a big one. We're in Salt Lake City. We know what the competition's like. Okay? Be the world's most successful direct selling company. Okay? Jeff Bell does not think small. Okay? Okay? Be the number one category leader in the voluntary benefits market. Now, think about that. Being in corporate, I got to go over my benefits last October. There's some good benefits out there. There's some good companies out there. He wants to be the number one in that. He wants everybody to know who we are and what we do. Okay? And we must live our values. If we're taking shortcuts, if we're not doing who we say we are, we're not going to reach the success. Okay, forgive me again. They kind of sequester me on the 25th floor, so I can prepare all this stuff, not give it. So I'm a little new at this. How will we measure our success, okay? You heard it today. This is not just somebody getting in front of you telling you this is the vision for the company. This is the CEO with the mandate that we will create more millionaires than any other direct selling company. Okay. We will cover more lives than any other voluntary benefit competitor. Think about what we heard today about market share and about who wants it and who needs it. Think about that. That is an accomplishable goal. Brand perception. This is something really close to me. Brand perception and NPS. Who knows what NPS is? Net Promoter Score. That's the quality of our service. Right now, our quality is above Apple. It's Nordstrom. It's high. Guess what we talked about with the providers yesterday? How can we get better at that? How can we do that? What can you communicate to the field so that they know what to expect out of us, out of the product? We always want to be better. Okay, so in 2020, 5 years from now, what defines success? This was a new term for me. I like it, though. I've been using it with my kids. What are the big, hairy, audacious goals, or BHAGs, strategic initiatives? Okay, I love the word audacious. You know, what is so big that you are audacious in even thinking it or verbalizing it? These are our goals. Grow by 10 times, okay? 1.4 million members now, 14 million individual members in 2020. What does that mean for this opportunity? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for what we want to do? Okay? 500,000 small business members. Again, what does that mean? 200,000 groups. Okay, this part's awesome. I love this part. 1 million associates with 100,000 active and 10,000 six-figure ring earners.
Yes.
So do you wonder why I love working for Legal Shield, but maybe everybody in this room, there's room, okay? 1,000 millionaires and 100 annual million-dollar earners, okay? Now, these aren't the marketing guys. This isn't the guy who writes stuff. This is Jeff Bell. This is his job. This is his vision. This is his mandate. These are the goals that he's supporting, okay? Have the best-in-class provider network. That means to get to these numbers, we have to make sure we can service those numbers. So we have to make sure that we're ready, okay? So prepare for expansion, locations, and scores. And keep that NPS score up and keep improving it. One thing that Jeff Bell is, good's never good enough. Great is fine, but get better. No pressure. Okay. Best-in-class membership experience. Higher usage. What's the best way? We were talking about this with the UDs yesterday. What's the best way to talk about the membership? Use it. Tell stories. use it. Get them to use it. Bring the product of our providers and the story that you're telling as close together as you can, and it's by using it. So encourage people to use their product every single chance they get. And adding new features and benefits proactively. I would love to go into detail, but they don't even tell me everything. So, but I just know it's a constant, ongoing thing to be better. Okay. So what do we need to do? And this is by we. This is us. This is on us. Okay. Ensure our comp plan for the network facilitates growth. What do we need to do? We need to make sure it facilitates growth. Improve the tools and training to drive production in the field. That's kind of on me, not just on me. I'm not doing this by myself. We have leaders in the field telling the leaders in the office what we need. We have those leaders in the office putting together marketing plans, strategies that they then give to me to go turn into something tangible that you all use and experience. And we think we've gotten better in the last little while. I'm telling you, I think we can get better still, a lot better. And that's another reason why I'm here. How's this stuff working? Is it working? What are you using? What would you like? Okay? I'm not the guy to give it to. I just want to know when I hear something coming down the pike saying, yeah, but what I heard in the field was if we did this, this, and this, or said it this way, maybe it would work a little bit better. So Jeff Bell has asked me and all of the executives to be in the just out in the field more, just being much closer to the end users of our work. Okay? Where was I? Okay. Increase the number of business-focused sellers. I know there are plenty of business-focused sellers here. That's where people start to hear that name. Oh, is that the thing I heard about in the office? Oh, that sounded pretty good. That's one way that we grow our brand, okay? Grow the provider network and improve its quality. It's measuring out at great quality. We're never happy. We're never happy, okay? Continue to increase retention and loyalty. Where does that residual come from? Retention, okay? Increase the service we provide. Find new ways to service our members. Find new things to do. Find things that either small features or large products. Just find better ways for our members. And forge key partnership with legal providers and identity theft providers. So that's ongoing. Okay, balanced scorecard. Now, this is something, this is kind of the how we're going to do it. These are all the aspects that have influence over our business. And you can see this little animation. I'm over here in employees and kind of over here in brand. I can do the coolest things in the world, but if it's not relevant to you and if I haven't consulted you or our service providers, or the members, and it's not working, it doesn't matter how great it is. It doesn't matter how excited I am over it. We have to work together to get better. Okay? So the brand, a lot of the stuff is in place, okay? Excuse me. We're going over the vision, mission, and values and the critical success. We're now going to the field with these. I know there have been hours and hours of work on the development of the 2015 marketing plan and beyond. That is something that again, if you sit with Mr. Fernley and he's talking about his marketing plan, just hold on. Just, it goes so fast, and there's so much there, and there's so much depth. Just hold on, and that's something I got to be a part of. Hire Young and Rubicam as our ad agency. Hire VML as our web development agency. Now, these are two things from Jeff that he's really using kind of as a center of where we're going. What those two things are going to do is improve our online experience. And I think you guys are great in using the tools we have, but I think everybody's hungry for something better, something more, something that works. And that is the focus. A new chief information officer was just hired. In fact, I haven't even met him yet. And a new digital experience officer has been in place for about 6 months now. Chris Del Sandro, the guy's amazing. The guy's a genius. Okay, so they are working hard to make those experiences better. And then relaunch the PPLSI with the Lady of Justice logos, our corporate brand. Think about it this way. Legal Shield and Identity Theft are our products. Kind of like what, like Chevy and GMC are products of General Motors. So PPLSI is our company. Legal Shield and Identity Theft are our products. Okay? Employees, and this is something to the heart of what Jeff's doing. Okay? Develop leaders at all levels. I don't know how many people have been to the ADA offices. They're amazing. They are the friendliest, warmest, dying to help you people that you'd ever want to meet. You want to take that warmth and that approachability and train them up to the point where they are helping you and they are experts in everything they do, and they can repeat that as people come up and develop. So it's giving them a mission and a goal for what they do, okay? Launch our balanced scorecard. That's an internal thing. How are we doing? How can we improve? How can we always watch out to do better, okay? And then establish formal training, development, and succession program in our plan. Again, how do we get to know our products better? How do we get to know our field better? How do we get to know our opportunity better? That's why I'm here. I want to know it better. Partners, Legal and Krill. Again, you've seen that 50 times. We have great service. We want to be better. Evolve NPS for higher impact continuous improvement process. Launch providers only portal and business process. So this is so that they can service you better. This is so that they have quicker, closer access to who you are and what you need. Okay. Launch a legal forms business model. I think we all kind of know what that means. We all know what the competition out there. We have some forms. We do a fair job. He wants more. He wants more. I don't know if we should record this. He wants to own that. Okay. Okay. Launch ID Shield with individual IDT products. So that means take and expand and grow our IDT product. Just make it better, make it a more robust product, make it applicable to whoever might need it. Okay. Customers, members, and HR pros, these are the people you approach every day. Okay. You guys have the mobile app on your phone?
Yes.
Who's used it to show somebody how close they are to the product, right? Okay. I have no details on this, and that's the story I'm sticking with. Launch mobile app for prospects, okay? Get them even closer, okay? Okay. You guys are so great and so patient, but we know we can do better at continuously improving responsiveness of our services. How can we do it? How can we close that gap, okay? Continuously improve benefits, simplicity, and value. You know, what can we add? How can we make it easier? We talked about a little detail, Mark. It works. It could work better. You know, how can we continually find ways to do that? Okay. And value. What are you getting for your money? What are you selling for people's money? It's important. Okay. Distribution. This is you guys. Okay. Platinum Council relaunch. Quarterly meetings. This is something that Mr. Self, you saw the video, who I'm honored to work with. In making those videos and doing everything, all the things together, so that they're working on that. Revise and implement a new field leadership structure. Launch, we talked about this a little bit, launch a learning management system. That is something that, in addition to the things we're partnering with Franklin Covey, we're working on kind of level-appropriate training. So right now we're working on basic training. It's just for somebody who has not heard our terminology, who doesn't know all the little acronyms that we use. It's something that's approachable for them so they know what we're talking about to bring them into the thing. And then we're building from there, okay? Okay, this one's obvious. Improve associates-only portal hub sites, launch an associate app, okay? That will be a continuous thing, okay? Reward advancement and compensation structure, okay? Whatever we can do to improve and reward that, okay? So that's sort of the presentation, but the point of this little graphic is these things together, all of us working our own parts, not apart, but together, are what's going to make Legal Shield the company that we all know it's going to be. And that's Jeff's vision. That's our vision. That's what we're working for, and that's what we're challenged on every day. So I am pleased to share that with you. I'm pleased as heck to be here. Heck, I am from Utah, right? I give myself away. And with that, I want to welcome back up. Okay, I have a nephew that I love. I'm getting way off track here. He's a young guy. He's trying to break into commercial real estate because that's what his dad does. And he's working really hard at it. I want him to meet this group of people right now so he can learn how to sell and to help build relationships. Mr. Branch, all I could think of was my nephew Artie when you were up there. I want you to inspire him. So I'd like to welcome Mr. Branch to come back up and continue to train us. Thanks, everybody.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody had ever seen. Do it strong, don't lie. Got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power.
Hello, everyone. If we could give it up for Mr. Rivera, that'd be awesome. I was on the phone with Mr. Fernley this morning, and we were talking, and he asked me who we had out here. I told him who we had, and he said, "Oh, Harold, he hates being in front of the room. So, you know, take care of him for me. He's not going to be long. Take care of him." And now I get to contact Mr. Fernley and tell him how great of a job Mr. Rivera did. Great job, sir. Great job. Could not. Great job. Thank you so much. About bullying? What was the who did I bully? Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. I was like, who told him? No, it was a great story. Thank you for that. And thank you for following me around the country. It's not creepy at all. I'm just kidding. I appreciate you. All right, as you can tell, we're going to have a good time. Is that all right, everybody? All right. We're going to have a good time. It was a great story. And there was there's a gentleman in our marketplace in Arizona. And his daughter, and this just shows the power of our membership. Legal Shield will help you in ways you haven't thought of yet. It really, really will. And his daughter, 12-year-old daughter, she's been coming around forever, right? Love her to death. So she was being bullied at school. And if you're a parent, you know how hard that is to deal with. It's really tough because you got emotions behind that, you know, and you want to empower the child. You don't necessarily want to just go and fix everything for them because you want the balance. You want them to learn how to deal with conflict themselves and things like that. But at the same time, you got emotions and you kind of want to wait in the parking lot for the kid and their parents, you know what I mean? So you got stuff that you're dealing with. And so it was tough and told the dad and, you know, it was an ongoing problem. He finally said, let's call the law firm. So he called the law firm because he wasn't getting anywhere talking with the teachers and principals. He called the law firm, and the attorney talked to him for about 10 minutes and then turned around and said, can I speak to your daughter? And talked to the daughter for 40 minutes. The 12-year-old daughter, because your children are covered by the membership. Talked to the daughter for 40 minutes. She got off the phone feeling a million times better. And the attorney told her some things to go to school the next day and tell the principal. Oh, this is sweet. She went to school the next day, told the principal what the attorney said. The bullying stopped immediately. And the next several days, the household received over 30 phone calls. And over 30 phone calls from parents of other students apologizing, saying they had no idea, it'll never happen again. How much is it worth to have your 12-year-old daughter to go from crying, feeling ostracized, to being empowered? How much is that worth? Imagine, because many people don't get over of a bullying situation. They're dealing with that as adults. They're still timid in certain scenarios. And it started off at 12, right? So what's available with our membership is next level. Thank you so much. Family, we got a lot of great things going on. We really do. And we're really, really excited. And I have a ton of information for you all. Tell you a little bit. I told you a little bit about myself before we started. But you should probably hear the type of trainer I am. Is that fair enough? Because I want you to be prepared for what's about to happen. How many of you have seen me train before? Then you already know. And you came back. So, you know, some of you didn't. And I understand. We will have a good time. I believe in finding humor in everything, as many things as possible. That's important to me. I'm also a nerd. For real. So I have on my Superman cufflinks, you know. Brenda Anderson and Bill Harrell got these for me, actually, for Christmas. It was like, we had to get them for you, right? Everybody know I'm a comic book psycho. And this is my journal. This is why I'm taking my notes in, right? It's just what I do. It's who I am. Don't judge me. So I am a nerd, but with being a nerd, I like information. I like good information. I like the information to make sense. I don't like to be entertained as a way of being pacified. That insults my intelligence. I also believe in speaking to adults as adults, so I would not talk to you as children. It's not going to happen. I hate when I'm sitting in the crowd and I feel like I'm being talked down to, being patronized. I don't like it. I'm assuming you don't like it either. Not going to do it. I'm assuming everybody here has bills that you need to have paid. Is that fair enough? That you got kids that need to eat. So I'm going to give you the real, I'm very honest, I'm very upfront, but I don't believe honesty has to be laced with cruelty. I believe those who use the excuse of honesty to be mean are merely lazy in language. I think they're lazy. And I think they could find better ways to say it. So I'm not going to do that, but I will be strong. But you could be firm and not offensive. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Lighten up. I may say some jokes that normally would annoy you. laugh. So I'm actually going to start with jokes, right? I had to wait till you got back for this, all right? I got to start with some jokes. I was going over some things just on my computer, just in my files. And I found the sheet that said, you may be a network marketer if. And it was just a bunch of jokes. And I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. I got to share it with my people. So then I took it out of Word, threw it in a quick PowerPoint this morning, right? And then something came to mind. So check it out. You may be a network marketer if you refer to your kids as your downline. You refer to your spouse as your upline. Gentlemen, right? Your trunk is full of Jim Rohn CDs. You think it's okay to ask a perfect stranger if they've reached momentum yet. You use three-way phone calls to set up dates. You refer to friends and relatives as your warm market. You no longer have a warm market. You refer to your son's graduation party as a PBR. You are on a first-name basis with the postman and the UPS driver. You consider the guy you just hit with your car a potential recruit. The phrases right place, right time, and ground floor are a regular part of vocabulary. You can never make outside commitments on a Tuesday or Thursday night. Let me see. Now, in reading this list, there were some of the jokes that I couldn't relate to, though, that didn't apply to us in the world of Legal Shield. And I found it unique. And it showed the uniqueness of our company. So those of you who are studying the industry, be careful lumping yourself in with the entire industry. Because some things we can't relate to. I hate to say it, we rise above the other companies. Let's check out some of these jokes. You have a garage full of water filters. And those of you that's been in other companies, you're going to laugh harder. You don't see anything funny about all those Amway jokes. You'll argue to the death the merits of 3,000-year-old oriental healing remedies. You don't see anything odd about driving a pink car. Your company has just been featured on Inside Edition. You believe it's possible that the testimonial about the lady's arm growing back is true. You store all of your vitamins, herbs, minerals, algae, stuff, melatonin, DH, whatever, tablets, in Tupperware. Your bank account is consistently overdrawn because of autoship. It's funny to me. You're not really shocked when the FTC starts asking your company's founder CEO a few questions. You see your exclusive product on the shelves at Walmart. Your company check bounces. You sign up 214 people and reach ultimate emerald lightning status and get a check for $13.76. You confuse reselling a product for true residual. The phrase ground floor and exciting startup, a regular part of your vocab. You are a guy asking to give people facials. You actually believe special coffee can make you healthier. Your friends and family finally buy your product, but at a fraction of the price off from eBay. After you spend years building the dream, sacrificing, stringing your family along, your company goes out of business because the product implodes or shady business dealings, then you find out they never meant to be around for long in the first place and the sales force is left to suffer. Actually, that's not funny at all. Thank God we're in Legal Shield. Thank God we're in Legal Shield. If we could change that out. When I saw it and I was laughing at the different ones, but then some of them, I was like, I can't relate to it. Then I started to think about how much I despise some companies in this industry for what they do. And all I could think to myself is, some of these companies aren't funny at all. I'm so glad I'm in Legal Shield. I am so glad I have a company that has an actual product, an actual service. I'm so glad that my residual is residual by definition of the term and not reselling a customer. I'm so glad I'm not banking this thing on some hocus pocus nonsense. I have no competition. And I may call my children my downline, depending on how they act. And there are things that we do that it could be absolutely hilarious. And we use a language sometimes and vernacular that nobody can understand. And we got all the acronyms in the world, just like everything else. And it's stuff about us that is hilarious. Laugh about it and keep moving forward. Because we're in the right company. And we may be strong in our network marketing ability. But please understand, we rise above every other network marketing company in existence. How many of you ever seen the movie Underworld with the vampires and the lichens? Okay, and for those of you who are not nerds, lichen is a nerd term for werewolf. You're welcome. Okay, I knew you always wondered that. I knew that. But in the movie Underworld, there was a special character that had bloodlines back to the original vampire and to the original werewolf. And this individual could be both. So he was strong, had all the strengths and none of the weaknesses. Michael Corvinus, I believe his name was. Fact of the matter is, Legal Shield is that creature. We are a combination, a hybrid of network marketing, and insurance. We have all of the strengths and none of the weaknesses. Do not adopt the weaknesses of those who do not have your blessing. Is that okay? Never dim your light to make others feel comfortable. We are special, and they will be mad at you for being special and awesome. Unawesome, people do that all the time. So what? Is that okay? I want to have a real conversation with you. And we're going to go over a lot of different things. It's going to be note heavy, but the first part won't necessarily be. I want to have a transparent conversation with you and hopefully share a lot of heart. Because I know I can give you all information in the world, but if your heart isn't in it, it doesn't mean anything. So hopefully we can make that connection today. Hopefully you came today to get better, to get something, to grow in some kind of way, shape, or form. Hopefully we don't have anyone that is willing to pay, show up, spend time just to be a critic, just to point out what they don't enjoy. Hopefully you're here to grow, develop, and get better. This is an invitation to do just that. And because I believe that's why you showed up, I'm going to put myself out there to hopefully help with that part of your journey. Is that fair? I think that's a fair mutual agreement. Surviving, living, and winning. The mindset of a champion. Did you know that everybody is surviving, living, or winning, but you got to pick which one you want to do. And if we're not careful, we'll do one thinking we're doing another. Some of us are just surviving. We're zombies. We're moving, but we got no purpose. We have no purpose. We just going through motions, no heart in the thing, right? No critical analysis in the daily activity. We're just exist. But some of us are living. Some of us are doing better than surviving. We're living. We're all right. We're doing okay. But there's a little thing tugging on us, telling us we could do more, but we're doing okay. We're doing better than them. So every now and again, we'll watch reality shows just to make us feel better. Because, oh, at least I ain't like that. We watch TV and watch people's families fall apart. And, whoo, glad we got that together. But we're not nearly where we could be. And there's something tugging on us in the dark of the night. When we close our eyes, when we're by ourselves, sitting at the kitchen table. When we see the things that are possible, but we have yet to obtain. And then you have those that's winning. Those that every day they can put a W in that column. Because they're getting it done. And they're living the dream. And they're living outside their comfort zones. And it feels scary and great at the same time. Just like going to horror movies when we were teenagers. Right? It's terrifying and awesome at the same time. Hopefully, at the end of this presentation, you will be able to identify where you are honestly. Because without honest identification, you can't move forward. You have to be able to say, I messed up, this isn't right, or this is right, I'm doing that good, or I'm doing that bad. Identify where you are and identify where you want to be and the path to get you there. That's my goal in the next whatever amount of time. Is that fair enough? You with me? Okay. I'm going to give you a lot of heart, so when you hear something you like, it's okay to talk back to me. Let me know you like it. All right? Or else I feel like I'm talking to myself, and then it's weird. Then it gets awkward. I try to avoid awkward as much as possible. I'm going to give you a little bit of my history. And I want you to know that your history is a huge influence on who you are today. And we can't ignore our history. We can't pretend our history never happened. And some of us may feel like we've been set up for failure. And some of us have. But it still doesn't have to go that way. You know your story. I'm going to share with you mine. And then you make the correlations as you can. Fair enough? Major influences. Dad. Dad left when I was one. Okay? My mother died when I was two from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Okay? So I grew up, obviously that brings some issues to the table. Growing up an orphan to people that are most charged with your well-being, both volunteer to not be there. we learn unconditional love from at least one parent, usually. Even if they're a messed up parent, they're there. So not having that there definitely implanted some harmful seeds in my subconscious that nobody loves unconditionally, that everyone leaves at some point, and I have to earn the presence of anyone that I want around. So it put me on a constant journey to impress constantly, or you may leave. That's exhausting. You know what I mean? That's exhausting. And then when you do make the inevitable mistake that will always happen, you get scared. You think everybody's going to round. Even if they don't, you expect it, and you think they do. And the people that will, I'll, of course, leave at some point. All it does is confirm the ill hypothesis you had in the first place. Because you do know when we set our mind on an opinion, we look for things to reinforce the opinion we have, and no matter how wrong that opinion is, no matter how wrong it is. You have a chair? Are you good? Okay, just checking on you. My neighborhood, I'm from the west side of Chicago. And inner city, not suburb, the west side of Chicago, Lawndale community, also known as Ghost Town. And I was there late 80s, early 90s. The time frame is important because this time frame was a time frame where violence was at an all-time high. Drugs, gang violence was at an all-time high. Police brutality, absolutely at an all-time high. So it was a lot of things going on. Actually, at one point, it was considered the most dangerous square mile radius in the United States of America. Okay? So seeing so much happen around me, you start to become desensitized to certain things. And I think we all could admit, tougher neighborhood, the harder it is to get out the neighborhood with a clear perspective on the world. Is that fair enough to say? Okay. Self-beliefs. School. Let's talk about school a little bit. Public school, first grade, because of an immense amount of physical abuse by a teacher that left my back bruised and scarred up fairly badly. The teacher then told my grandma, my granny, and my aunt that raised me that I had a learning disability and I needed to be put in special ed classes. Now, anyone with children or have dealt with the special ed area of the educational system realize that's a black hole for the most part. Once you get that label, they're not really trying to teach. They're just trying to pacify. A lot, not all. Even if you get a teacher that is trying to move it forward, they don't have the resources to move those children forward. And they get way too many children to work with in the first place. So children that get the special ed label, It's almost over at that point. Luckily, Granny didn't listen. I know my boy is smart. You mad because he told on you from the whole beating thing. So we took him out that school. Took me out that school, put me in a Catholic school. I know all my stations. Right? Who knew? Yeah, you know, I was in Catholic school. So put me in Catholic school, and it really changed. But coming with those challenges, that kind of sinks in on a little bit. But of all those things I went through, nothing was more influential than my self-belief. Nothing was more powerful than how I saw me. It's the most damaging. Seeing myself as unworthy, seeing myself as not worthy of life, living, a burden on the people around me, all these different things. No matter what you have gone through, why do I share this much intimacy of my life? Why do I get so into it? First of all, because my experiences don't own me. They don't own me. I own them. I'm not their history. They're my history. I control that. So I make decisions on that, okay? Because what that tells me is that I've been through this. What you going to do to me in legal shield? Like, really? Really? What you going to do to me here? What, I'm going to have a bad month? Oh, no. So I don't intimidate. My back don't bend easy. You know what I mean? So every challenge and everything that we've gone through has equally positioned us in an area of strength. Because we went through it, but we survived it. And that's the part we need to remember. We survived it. I go through it. I share this much because I know there's a fair amount of people in this room right now who are still haunted by things that happened 20, 30 years ago. I know it. I know it like I know it. I know it like I know it. And we can't allow ourselves to be haunted by anything. Just like in Pac-Man, you don't let the ghost chase you. You get your power pellet and you eat those ghosts. Exactly. Know what I mean? But with all that said, I had every reason to give up. But if I'm going to live, and I remember making this decision, I swear I was equating it to Super Mario Brothers. I swear, it's the weirdest thing. And I thought about Super Mario Brothers, and I was like, if I'm done with the game, but I got one man left, I usually just burn it out. I just hold the A button, run as fast as I can, and just see what kind of craziness I could do with this last man, because I don't care if it dies or not. So I found so many secrets that way. Because I wasn't afraid of the risk. I was fearless because I didn't care how it ended. So instead of wishing to die, if I'm going to live, I want it all. Let me burn this man out. Let me wear it out. So one thing you'll never worry about HB doing, Harold Branch doing, is fading away. What's the point? What's the point? I will compete with myself and no one else. And become better to overcome all of my many handicaps and shortcomings. Some of us have handicaps that inhibit us from having massive success immediately in Legal Shield? Yep. Do we have handicaps that affect our relationships? Yep. Handicaps that make it harder for some of us to do good in school? Yep. Have friendships? Yep. Should that stop you from doing any of those things? Nope. Recognize it for what it is. Recognize it for what it is and get through it. Get over it because we can. The path of transition, now that we've identified, and hopefully this has helped you, and if you're taking notes, write your stuff down. Don't write my stuff down. My stuff won't do it for you. Yours will. So write your stuff down. How are you relating to it? You may be saying to yourself, man, that's kind of similar to what I went through my first year in college. And it went bad. That experience, that this, that, right? Whatever. Once you identify that, let's talk about the path of transition. Let me be honest with you. When you decide, okay, this is what all that is. I won't let it own me. I won't let it control me. I'm going to succeed anyway. Know that this is going to be, you are choosing a lonely road. I know it sucks. You think, when I work with people that's trying to change their life around and get it on track, they hate. A lot of people want to tell them, they want to butter up the process for them so that they'll commit to it. Say, you know what, just do right. When you do right, right things come to you. And just do the right thing. And it's going to be awesome. And everything's going to be okay. And that's not true. First of all, you still got some karma for all the years you was doing wrong. So that don't go away the moment you decide to do right. You got to pay that debt off. So you got to do right and still owe stuff. Bad stuff still happen. Negativity still pop up. People still don't trust you. You've been lying for 15 years. You decided last week you was going to stop lying. Why would people believe you tomorrow? You got 15 years of lying under your belt. Does that make sense? We think when we having an epiphany and change, the world supposed to have an epiphany with us. That's not how it happens. We have to continue to do it anyway. It's a lonely journey. And it's a lonely journey because the people you've grown accustomed to that have pacified you, that have been okay with the shortcomings that you've exhibited, all those individuals, and they probably do it because they love you, they want to keep you around, they don't want, but all those individuals, they're not ready to change just because you are. So you identify the people where you want to be, and you're moving away from the people from where you're at. But on the road, you're by yourself. You're by yourself. And guess what? You have to be. Now, you got encouragement. You got both sides saying, come on. Come on. You got that side saying, why are you going to go to that thing on a Saturday morning? And then you got the people with what you want saying, this is what we do on a Saturday morning. You're doing the right thing. You got them saying, you're still not making any money. What's the point? You're doing all this stuff and you still make the same money you used to make. And you got people over here saying, you're paying your dues. This is what it looks like. I know it don't feel like it. Come on. Now the question is, in this tug of war, where do you lean? But this is, these are demons you have to slay. So often we put too much responsibility on our upline. Or we blame Legal Shield for a relationship not working. Your spouse didn't like you before you signed up. We didn't do that. You was a jerk before you got to us. We're trying to get the massage the jerk out of you. I had to put my faith in my vision while pulling away from my comfortably uncomfortable reality. We grow comfortable in the discomfort that we're used to. It is hard to pull away from a pain if we've been in the pain long enough. I worked with young people and I had kids, man, with every, just they have been tortured. Cigarette burns on them from a parent, you know. And in the middle of the night, when they cried because of a nightmare, they cried for the same person that abused them every day. That's what they were used to. That's what they were used to. We could become addicted to the very thing that's killing us. Constantly questioned myself throughout the journey. The path isn't always clear. Faith in the future is needed. How strong is your faith? Now, that faith question could be interesting because oftentimes it's so used in a religious standpoint that people don't realize, regardless of religion, you got to have faith. Have faith in you. Have faith in goodness of man and woman, kind. Have faith that great things will come your way because you're willing to do great things. But you got to know that you won't see it and you can't identify when it will. And you got to keep doing it anyway. I can't tell you when your six-figure ring will show up. He can't tell me when mine was going to show up or is going to show up. But I tell you what, everybody know it is. I don't know when the millionaires are going to get here. But guess what? When the $1 million show up, it's going to be right on time. Whenever the $1 million get here, I'm going to be like, you know what? I needed $1 million. That was awesome. So keep going. The journey is of personal development. The only thing that could get you through that journey is PD. Now, the personal development journey, a lot of people got personal development wrong. Reading personal development is different from doing personal development. Listening to personal development is different from doing personal development. I know people that could recite book after book after book, and they're the meanest people I ever met in my life. They didn't read How to Win Friends and Influence People, but they just yelled at the waitress for being late. You read it to look good, to be flashy, but you don't do it. It hasn't broken through in any way, shape, or form. So when it came to personal development, what did I have to work on? This is me personally. You know what you got to work on. Is that okay? You know, some of the things I had to work on. I read, I self-taught, and I found mentors to teach me. Me getting better is nobody's responsibility but my own. I learned that early. One of the positives about taking care of myself for so long is that I had to take responsibility for anything I wanted in my life. If I wanted to eat, I had to make sure that I figured that out. I always wanted to get better. And some things I wasn't even around, but I saw on television. I was like, I like how they're saying that. I need to work on my vocabulary. I need to work on my language. And I did that, right? How to dress and grooming. When I joined Legal Shield, I didn't know how to tie a Windsor knot. I never wore cufflinks, except at a wedding. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. But I learned. I didn't know you have a pocket square and a handkerchief. You need that on the inside. Just in case you got to wipe the brow. You don't wipe the brow with your silk pocket square. I didn't know that. I didn't know. It was just certain gentlemanly things I didn't know. I had to teach myself. I had to read the GQ and the Esquire and talk to the mentors and watch what are they wearing, right? Etiquette is huge. It's huge. I had to learn that it's just certain things that's appropriate and inappropriate. If I'm working with a young lady on my team, I need to, every time I call, I need to speak to her husband. Every time. Every time. Regardless if I know my intentions are good, I don't know what they're going through or what they've been through. I need to speak to that spouse every time. Hey, tell your husband I said hello. Hey, how's it going? Man, grab a, always invite him to anything that we're doing, because I'm a guy. And guess what? Even though my intentions are good, it's a lot of guys whose intentions are not. As a woman, same thing. There's an etiquette to the game, and you got to teach yourself the etiquette, and you have to be hungry to learn it. Appropriate versus inappropriate social behavior. Oh my God. Some of you, and I'm using you on purpose, so you know it kind of penetrates. Some of you, everywhere I go, I realize there are so many people that could be so much further if they just cared enough to read the social cues of the people they deal with. Somebody asked me today, how did the sit down go? I said, it went great. They were really, really nice, but they were more polite than interested. There's a difference. Just because somebody's smiling don't mean they're interested. Ladies, is that right? If you're talking to somebody and they got to lean like this, they need to go. But you can't be so caught up in what you got to say that you're not respecting the fact they need to exit. Because now they will never engage another conversation with you. They'll see you on the other side. Ooh, you're going to talk to them. Watch out. Those are social cues. We have to become learned in social cues. Or else we are socially clunky and clumsy, and we wonder why nobody will return our phone call. We're creeping people out, and we don't have to. Have you ever had somebody that had no concept of proximity? And you're talking to them, and they're just really up on you, and it's always a guy, and he's leaning on me, and I'm like, hey, this is really awkward. I really feel like any moment, if he wanted to kiss me, he could. He could. He could. So I try to do a nice boxing lean back, you know. And then what do they do? Lean forward. Can you not hear me? Just another example. Oh, here's a great one. When the speaker or somebody is talking to someone, and instead of waiting patiently at a proper distance, just in case they're saying something personal, because you're so eager to speak to them, you hover right in the middle of them. That's not cool. This is not cool. But we do it. And we don't even realize we're doing it. We're just excited. All these things come from an innocent place. Good intentions. But good intentions tend to pave roads. Yeah. When to speak and when to listen. I had to teach myself that because I always wanted to talk. I always wanted to share. I always wanted to give it up. Then I realized, you know what? I'm not making the most money in the room. I need to listen. I need to take some notes. I can learn more by listening than talking any day of the week. Some of us, we are so hungry to be understood, we're not understanding anyone. I challenge you to seek to understand the people around you for a week. Really want to understand where they're coming from. You will minimalize your language. And they will call you a phenomenal conversationalist. They were like, oh my God, you're so easy to talk to. I love talking to you. That's because I wasn't talking. You were, right? But I had to learn these things, boundaries. I had to learn strategy, right? Sometimes the thing you want to say, it kills me when people say, well, it's on my heart, it's on my mind, I gotta say it. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Who said that? Well, it's my opinion. My opinion is valid. Maybe. All opinions on all things are not valid. That's not true. My opinion about the, where are we? What city is this? We're in Salt Lake. Give me a town outside of Murray. That's not a small town in Utah. Sandy. Okay. Let's say I wanted to give somebody. Somebody came in here and asked, hey, is Sandy a good place to get something to eat? And you guys go to speak on. I got it. Nah, you don't want to eat in Sandy. Is my opinion valid? Why? That's the fallacy. I've never even been to Sandy. And that's what we've grown. We are in a culture where we've told everybody their opinion is valid, even if they have nothing to base it on at all. So now we feel as though, because we are in a reality show, social media world, we need to say everything we think the moment we think it. And nothing could be further from the truth. We need to strategically share what's on our mind. And at times, we need to bite our tongue because we are not the most informed person in the room. Bottom line is, be willing to do whatever it takes, however long it takes. Is that fair enough? I just figured I had to laugh like that because it got a little tense in here. Do we have audio for this? Maybe? Sort of? I'm going to show you a video. Yeah, I'm going to let y'all do that. I'm going to show you a video. And this is one of the best videos I've ever seen to remind us what we need to do and how we need to do it. Allow yourself to emotionally just digest this. Is that all right? Maybe, not so much. Audio. Okay. I believe in him. I believe in you. You guys. Maybe. Huh? Look like no dice. No video for you. Let me think about it. It's playing right now. Huh? The headphones may be cut down because I heard it from the I'll let them figure it out. Fact of the matter is, and that will close the first segment of this part, this training. But we've all been through a lot. That's the point. We've been through a lot. And if I didn't just lay out a laundry list of all of my baggage, you probably wouldn't have guessed it. Maybe not. And the very things that we wish would have never happened are oftentimes the things that gave us the strength and the posture to succeed the way we have so far. I do not regret any of my challenges, because every challenge I've been given, I've stepped up to it. It's an opportunity to show my awesomeness. My awesomeness. Right? No? Yeah? Let's see. Okay. Nope. Too bad. We'll come back to it and figure it out later. Great clip. Great clip, though. Great clip. All right, now I'm going to give you some more functional things. How can we work through that? Is that all right? I'm going to give you some functional stuff, some to-dos, okay? Went over some philosophy, went over... I think we've set the tone, all right? Now let's kind of ramp it up a little bit. Now, many of us, most of us, many people live between crisis and survival. Write these lines. If you're taking notes, please put this down. And make sure, and even if you're taking pictures, don't take pictures yet because I'm going to put more up there. But even if you're taking pictures, don't let that deny you the writing process. It will register more as you write versus take the pictures of, okay? Just neurologically. Nerd, sorry. Okay, so crisis survival. Many of us live between crisis and survival. So we're at survival and we're doing enough. Survival is enough. We're surviving. You ever say, how you doing? Surviving. People tell you, I'm surviving, right? They're barely there. And then the car breaks down. And then the bill from the school shows up. And then the heater goes out. The radiator goes out. Something happens, and now we're scrambling. Because if you're only surviving, where do you go? You're in crisis now. And crisis, by definition, is terrifying, and it demands action. But something phenomenal happens in crisis. It pulls the best work ethic you got. Your back is against the wall. You figure it out. If you need that $400 to get this rent paid or you're going to be evicted, guess what? You find it. It may be overtime. It may be borrowing. How many of you have ever participated in creative financing? You figured it out. I didn't came home before and with the money, and they was like, where you get the money from? Don't ask no questions. Don't ask no questions. We got it. Fact of the matter is, in crisis, you figure it out. You scramble. You go hard. Maybe you have to work overtime, and you just blast it. You get it done. But you're not seeing your friends as much. And they're like, where are you? Do you care? No, you don't. Because you got something you got to get done. All you can think about is, you're not going to help me keep this house. You're not paying my bills. What if your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister complain about you not coming around? So, I got to keep this house. I'm working. I got things to do. I'm hustling. I'm trying to get it. We are unmoved by the critics in crisis. Because death, decimation is around the corner if we don't act expeditiously. Right now, I have no room to play. It is not a game. I'm losing sleep. How many of you have put in that kind of overtime? You didn't sleep. What's that? You got it done and couldn't wait to pull off. So then you get the money you need. You get what you need. You're back to survival. Then what do we do? I'm glad that is over. Ready to go get that beer? Then we relax. Relax. How many of you ever lived in this? I have. I know I have. Lived in this. I thought that was how you live. But above survival is success. And we know that. We know success is above survival. And success is doing more than surviving. You're doing well for yourself. You got extra. You got savings. Whatever success is to you. Whatever that level above survival is to you, okay? But this was the part that changed my life. These three lines changed my life. I was in leadership a couple years when I first saw this. I was like, oh my God. It gave me permission. The trainer said, the amazing thing about this is, if you're living between survival and crisis, you don't think success is possible. You don't think you can live there. You're positive, you do affirmations, but you don't really, really believe that that's for you. People do special stuff. They got a leg up. They got this, they got that. And he said, the amazing thing is you have already canvassed the distance between survival and success. You did it while you were in crisis. The distance between crisis and survival is the same distance from survival to success. It is the exact same distance. There is nothing different. The only thing different is the time you implement the work. So what I encourage you to do when you're in survival, act like you're in crisis. Don't care what people say. Put the overtime in. Grind that thing out. Till you get to success. And then breathe. And then when the car breaks down, you may fall to survival, but you never have to come see crisis ever again. You can divorce crisis today. You could break up with crisis today. You could leave that terrible, abusive relationship today and commit to more. I don't know about you. That was earth-shattering to me when I realized it's the same thing. I have already done it. I just did it in the wrong direction. So you don't need anything new. God's delays are not his denials. Stick and stay. I'm about to map out your entire Legal Shield career. I'm misting. I got some crystals and everything. Be consistent even through the challenges. Now, everybody in this room, this applies to you. For those of you who are brand new, this is what you can expect. It is an emotional roller coaster. You're going to get started. When you first get started, are you excited? Yeah. Woohoo! You excited? You just started a business. Are you serious? This is awesome. I got a business. You doing happy dances? Yeah. Got a business? You're excited, right? Everybody's excited when you just start. It's awesome. And then somebody calls to you, tell you it'll never work. Ooh. Now you're sad. You're upset because somebody told you it'll never work. And if you don't quit there, because every down somebody quits. It's terrible. Somebody tell them it never worked, they quit. Like that's all it took? That was it? That guy work at the same job you do. You listen to him? But then your sponsor calls you. And your sponsor calls you and say, you know what? I'm going to come to your place. You invite your friends over. I'm going to present to your friends. You don't even worry. You just get them in the room. They come over to play Xbox anyway. I got you. Bring them over. I'm going to present on your behalf. Don't even worry about it. I'm there. I'm with you. You're excited again. Yeah. I got an expert coming to my house. That's awesome. I could do this anyway. He got my back. It's going to be awesome. And you're excited until nobody show up. You just lost another wave. So now you're upset. But then One of those people that didn't show up, they call you. They say, man, I'm so sorry. I got caught up with the kids, but I really wanted to be there. I'm real interested in what you got going on. Do you maybe have a meeting or something, probably at a hotel, probably on Tuesday or Thursday I could come to and see what's going on? And you go, yeah, happy dancing again, right? You're excited. You're fired up. You're at the hotel. I got a guest. That's going to be my guest. You know, it's amazing how we claim ownership over other human beings. And this is my associate. I own him. I have the papers at home. We are not your associate. We're your business partners. You do not own us. Laws have been passed, people. I couldn't help it. I wasn't going to do it. I couldn't help it. I had to throw it out there just in case. Don't tell Corey. So you're excited and you're standing outside in front of the hotel at 7, at 7:15, at 7:29. I got a guest. They don't show up. Then you come to a Super Saturday and you hear a testimony. You hear training. You get motivated. You hear that you could do it. You see somebody that you respect and you hear that nobody showed up for them for quite some time. You hear that Mr. Branch had 9 months without a deposit at all, just showing up. Couldn't get right in the business. But had faith and did it anyway, and eventually he had 5-figure months, right? You hear about Danny Katoa, who didn't have a briefing in his marketplace, so he started a meeting that he went to alone for 9 months. Nobody showed up for 9 months. But then when they did, within 2 years, he was over $200,000 a year. You hear that story. You hear about the business owners who were already millionaires, the Acoins, who had a PBR every week. And for the first 3 months, nobody showed up to the millionaire's PBR. I would think people would show up to hear how the millionaire could help them make a million. They were known in the business community, and nobody showed up. And they still went on to make a second, third, and fourth fortune in legal shit. You hear those stories, and you say, you know what? Maybe I don't need everybody. Maybe I don't even need most people. Maybe I just need enough. And you get excited again. And then life happens. And I don't know what life is. It could be more than that, you know? When people take breaks or don't focus as leaders, don't take a picture yet. That's it. I got another one for you. I'm telling you, it ain't done. You just think it's done. There are good reasons for you not to do this. You're honestly busy. Like, really legitimate reasons for you not to show up every week. You got really good reasons not to expose people every day. Good, legitimate reasons. I'm not going to trivialize the things that weigh on you. I'm not going to treat it like it's nothing. You got good reasons. But everybody has a good reason not to succeed. I don't want you to just overcome the excuses. I want you to overcome the good reasons not to do it. When my son used to cry as I walk out the door, Daddy, don't go stay home, and I had a briefing to do, and I walked to my car door in tears, but I knew I had to build his future. He doesn't remember it now, but I had to go, and I knew I was going to be back, but with the meeting after the meeting, he would be asleep. Missing quality time. Did I miss some quality time? Yes. Did I cry on the way to the car? Yes. Did I leave anyway? Yes. Would anybody have blamed me if I stayed? Nope. And we would be struggling. And guess what? He wouldn't be seeing me for days and days at a time as I worked overtime. Because when the job is telling me to walk out, I have no option. And if I could do it for a job, I could do it for my future. We go to work sick. And we get sick in Legal Shield. We don't expose anybody for 3 weeks. Because we were sneezing. It's amazing. So even the good reasons, I want you to go past that. Do it anyway. But the question is, what makes this significant? Everybody goes through this. Mr. Hughes goes through this. Right? Mr. Hall goes through this. Newest Platinum, go through this. I go through this. We all go through this. What's the difference between the Platinum and the newest associate? Personal development. Personal development. You see, when you got personal development, without personal development, you go up and it's a lot. You got to come all the way down here before you start to go back up. When you got PD behind you, you never stay down long. We come right back up. It's not whether you get affected. It's how fast do you recover? How fast do you recover? And depending on the books that you've read, the audios you listen to, and the people you spend time with, will determine how fast you recover. If you're taking in the things that you read and practicing the things that you hear and picking up on the good habits, instead of trying to impress the people you're around. How fast do you recover? We all go through it. A no hurts me as bad as it hurts you. I'm a poet. I am emotional by nature. And it's very helpful in training. It sucks in exposing. You know what I mean? So it does. I hate it. I hate it. I just recover faster. I go through and I tell myself what I need to tell myself to work through it because I know it's necessary and mandatory. And I can't train you on stuff I don't do. That's why I do the system explicitly. I show tools, I do three-way calls, I get them to a live event, and then they find out I'm the regional vice president at the event. I don't use that to leverage anybody. You know what I mean? I do exactly what I want my new associate to do. Exactly. But that would cover your recovery time. Distract yourself from life distractions. Don't let temporary failure convince you to abandon the system. Do not let temporary failure convince you to abandon the system. Because those many people, when they get like two or three of those downs, they say it's not working. I'm going to talk about that on another slide, but be careful. Distract yourself from life's distractions. One of the worst things you could do when you're going through emotional turmoil is to pull away from your Legal Shield family. You notice I say family a lot, don't I? Because I mean it. When I had a death in my family, Tracy Self and Tracy's mom, Mama Beverly, called to check on me. Because they knew I was going back to Chicago. Baby. I know you upset. Don't you do nothing while you back home. Grief will make you make bad decisions. But that's because that's my Maryland family. When we had a death in our marketplace in Arizona, we cried on each other's shoulders. When my regional manager passed away, John McIntyre this summer, we took care of each other. When one of the seniors of our market passed away, Didi, and her daughter came to the briefing every week. Were they producers? No. But they were there every week. They were staples in our marketplace until mom died. And Didi didn't have enough to have a few. When are the services? I don't have it. So the market got a hotel room. The market put a service together. That's our, we take care of ours. But that wouldn't have been the case if they wasn't participating in the culture of the market. We take care of ours. This is our house. You know what I mean? And for those who participate in the house. But so many people, when they go through stuff, they say, yeah, I know I ain't been around. I've been going through stuff. Why would you pull away from the biggest concentrated source of positivity you have in your life? Nowhere else in your life do you have so much concentrated positivity. Concentrated. This ain't the group. That's when you show up more. Because you feed from that to get through it. I know. Through the deaths, through the challenges, through everything else, I linked on my Legal Shield family, and I was able to get out of it a lot faster. Suggestion. Now, from sacrifice to comfort, we must earn the treasures we seek. Let me do a quick check-in. How are you all doing? Is this too much? All right. I know this could be a little heavy. Is this too much? Y'all all right? It's been a long day so far. Okay. From sacrifice to comfort, we must earn the treasures we seek. The biggest thing here is earn. Somebody told me a long time ago, whatever your why is in Legal Shield, the reason you're doing it, time, money, or whatever, that's the very thing you're going to have to give up at first. It's like an old Chinese riddle. It's weird. It almost feels like an oxymoron. But I hear new associates tell me, well, I'm not going to that too. I joined this thing for time freedom. You've been in a week. You ain't earned no time freedom yet. What are you talking about? I get blown by when people say that. Well, I got in here to make money. I'm not finna spend all this money. You ain't earned no money yet. Show me a business you don't have to invest in and I'll show you a job that lied. You got a job. And most of us have to invest in our job. You can't write off your travel from home to work. You can't write off the clothes you gotta buy. You don't get write-offs. We pay to work. When I joined McDonald's, my first job was McDonald's. I had to get a food handler's card that I had to pay for like it was food. That's a whole nother discussion, okay? I got a food handler's card. I paid for that. I had to have a certain type of black shoe to walk on the tiles that would be non-scuffing. And guess what? I didn't randomly own black non-scuffing tile shoes, so I had to go buy some of those. And then we got a uniform. Did I have to pay for that up front? No, they took it out of my check, though. Like two or three checks, they took it out. I paid about $149 to work fast food. It's your business. And so there is that. Okay, anyway, so. These columns here, some of you that's been in business a while, you know exactly what this is, right? This was something else that's changed my life early in the business. These columns represent time frames. The top half is the time you have to invest. The bottom half is the money you earn. When you first get started in your business, you're learning, and that's okay. And let's say these are years. You're learning. You're learning. You're still getting the, it's going to take you about a year to get the vernacular, to get comfortable in the move. You're still going to feel like you're visiting when you come to the briefing. Now, you may shoot through the compensation plan, but you'll still have that new feeling, right? I hit executive in 6 months. I'm not saying you got to take a year or beyond to hit executive. I'm saying you can hit executive, you'll still feel new for that first year or so. You're going to invest a lot of time, and the money will not be comparable to the time you invest. Welcome to business. This is not a job. This is entrepreneurship. And we have to shed employee expectations and mindsets in an entrepreneurship environment because we are setting ourselves up for failure. But every year, your time investment could decrease, but your income increases because of consistency and leverage. And by the time you get here, you're like this guy. You're like this guy. Roll out of bed or not, $6,000 a month. Is that worth that? That's what you have to ask yourself. Don't tell me. Meditate on it. Because it sounds good when you're in the emotional circle of everyone around you. It's easy to let the emotion push you to, yeah, it's worth it. But when you're home alone, is it worth it? These are, hopefully I'm posing some critical questions and giving you some things to work through when you leave. Your training won't be over when you leave here. This training will follow you for a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe more, as you start the process of discovering who you really are, what you really want, and what you're willing to do to get it. Are you a fighter, or do you tap out? What does it take for you to give up? We have to embrace self-discovery, no matter how painful the outcome may be information-wise. Because only then can we say, I don't like that about myself, I'm going to make it better. Are you bored yet? You all right? Okay. I'm just checking. If you are, lie to me. Okay. Keys to success, all right? All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. What is the key word in this entire thing? The word that means the most to me. Yes. Accepted. Truth. Self. Evident. All violently. Violence is important. If you ever see violence, you should ears pick up. All true. Truth. Truth. That's huge. All truth. Not some truth. All truth. Truth. Whatever a truth is, it has passed through this. There is not a religion that you can join that has not gone through this. That wasn't laughed at, that wasn't ridiculed, that wasn't violently opposed until it was accepted. And some are still working to be accepted. There is no such thing as racism, as race. There is no such thing as race. All race has all, we all have the exact same everything else. It's a color. That's a truth. All races are equal. That's an absolute truth. You cannot argue me on any fundamental level on that truth. But it went through this and still going through this in some minds, some locations, some very close to where we are. It has been violently opposed. The concept has been laughed at. Men and women are absolute equals, even if they have some differences. That is a truth. But we have had women scientists who had to publish papers in their husbands' names because it would not have been accepted. It was violent. Why do truth get violently opposed? Because there will always be a group that will profit from the lie. You only violently oppose something when it poses a risk or a loss. There is always some people that will lose if the truth is exposed. The world is round. Truth laughed at, violently opposed. They used to kill people. People have died because they said the world was round. The universe did not revolve around the earth. That's the truth. And some people died because they said that truth, because they said that we revolve around something. It's not an actual revolution. It's a whole new. My nerd almost came out. Sorry, it flares up randomly. The key to, I'm working on my cool. I have longer stretches. The key to success is finding something that would be self-evident before it becomes self-evident. Family, you are in the right place because everybody told you no. Because the people told you no yesterday, you're in the right place. Or else you will always be self-evident. And guess what's self-evident? Cell phones. Self-evident. That's why none of you in the room, none of us are going to get rich from them. I could name a bunch of self-evident stuff. You think that's what you want, but don't want what you don't want. That's not what you want. You want some resistance socially. Or else there's no money to be made. There's no fortunes to be made. You're an employee. And guess what? Legal Shield, absolutely. Absolutely. We were laughed at. Oh, my God. They used to laugh. I've been laughed at personally. We have been violently opposed. Matter of fact, we were just talking about the violent opposition. The few years ago, we were in battle mode with the transition of our company. I used to answer, man, it was crazy. It was intense. It was really intense. The vultures were out. Vultures were out. And guess what? Now you hear crickets. You don't hear anything anymore. They're nowhere to be found. No opposite. We're moving to self-evident. This is the time. This is why 2020 is possible. We're right at self-evident. But your own personal business is going to go through all three of these stages. Your family's going to laugh at you for doing that little thing. Then they're going to violently oppose you when you want to go to the family reunion. You could come, but don't be talking about that legal thing. I'm tired of hearing. Whoa, really? And then they're going to call you and say, you're still doing that legal thing. You're going to go through that. You're going to go through that. What your job is to stand strong despite all the wind. I need you to resist the laughter. I need you to resist violent opposition. And I need you to be strong and to be righteous when self-evidence shows up. I need you to be able to handle it with honor and integrity. That's what I call upon you to do. I have no problem calling upon you to do it because it's the right thing to do. And I don't think the interview has any issue with me calling upon the higher you to do this. Is that fair? You see, I did the Superman hand thing right there. Like, bam. Bam. I felt Supermanish right there. Check this out, everybody. Never listen to the masses. This is just a little something to take with you. You'll appreciate it. This is a reason for admission. I did this at your training. This is a reason for admission to a lunatic asylum, right? An insane asylum, okay? In 1864 to 1869. I'm just going to read a couple of these for you. Greediness, grief, bad whiskey, nymphomania. No, I was going to see who's going to take that. I'm like, somebody's going to say something, Kevin. Kevin. Hysteria, immoral life, egotism. How many of you know some people would be locked up right now? Politics. Kind of still agree with that one. Brother, I don't know. I'm not even going. I'm not going there. You can go there. Asthma. Bad company. Family, this stuff would have got you locked up and shot with electrodes. And now we look back upon it and see how ridiculous this list is. The people who call you crazy have no idea what sanity looks like. They are moving with the tide of societal winds. Whatever is fancy, because they live in the world of self-evident while you live in the world of vision. For me to create a device that will allow me to talk to someone who isn't even here is insane if you had never heard of this telephone. For me to want a room to be bright when clearly the sun isn't out and there's no fire burning is an insane concept if you have never heard of electricity. You are ahead of your time. Brilliant individuals and those who recognize brilliance are always called insane until everyone else catches up. Congratulations. If you haven't been called crazy yet, go and expose more people. Couple things. If you really want to make some changes, and I'm not going to go too deep into this, but if you really want to make some changes, the way to do it, your lifestyle will change once your philosophy does. The problem is most people try to change their actions. And if you change your actions trying to get a lifestyle change, it will work for about a week. If you try to stop smoking because you just think you should and everybody else think you should, it'll work maybe for a couple days. You want to get in shape, start eating right, you'll eat right for a couple days, but it won't last. The reason it won't last, because you tried to change your action, but your attitude about it never changed. So, yeah, you went to the gym, but you were cursing all the way into the gym. Can't stand this stupid gym. This is dumb. Why people got to do this? Can't stand this place. Why you charge so much? Why they got to wear that? This is crazy. I don't want mirrors in here. Why I got to have mirrors? If I wanted a mirror, I wouldn't need the gym. This is nuts. This is crazy. Boom. And then you work out, and then running a treadmill is crazy, and you hate it, and you hate it, and you do. How long are you going to do something you hate? You're going to be like, you know what? By day three, you're like, you know, forget it. I'm in shape. Rounds of shape. People need to accept me who I am. This is prejudice, right? Because you just can't do it because your attitude about it sucks. It's terrible. In order for something to change, you got to change how you see the thing. You talk to somebody who struggled with weight forever, struggled with cigarettes forever, and it wasn't until they went to the doctor and they said, just letting you know, you will never see your grandchild grow up if you don't change it. Now, you don't see that greasy burger as goodness. You see that as the thing that's going to keep you from throwing your grandchild in the air. It is now a mortal enemy. You see walking and you see your grandchild. And so every step you take, you're getting closer and closer. Your vision has changed. Your philosophy has changed. So now your attitude is different. You're eager to do it. You're happy to do it, even though it hurts, even though it's painful. You know what you're doing it for. Your why has changed. So the action stays consistent. Because to give up on the action is to give up on your grandchild. And you will never do that. You have just attached your why to your action and lifestyle. That's why we have you identify your why, and you identify it, but never do you usually we don't connect it to the compensation plan. Your why must be directly connected to the compensation plan of Legal Shield, and you will be unstoppable. No one will ever be able to move you. But we identify our why, but don't connect it. I invite you to make the connection today so that nobody could stop you if they wanted to. There is nobody that could stop me on this journey because you're not Quattro. My son, his name is Harold Branch IV. We call him Quattro. And my daughter is Ella. You're not Quattro or Ella. There's nothing you could do. So when people quit, some were friends, some were mentors, some I cried when they left. Most I cheered. Most I did backflips. I couldn't wait to get rid of them. Here's some philosophies, right, that will help your business. Good philosophy, bad philosophies. Some of you will, I see some things. I show up when a guest speaker comes. Oh, that's bad. And I'm specifically talking to those who are here now, but don't show up during the week. You can't build your business Super Saturday to Super Saturday. That means you have 12 chances a year. It's not good. Don't come here for me. If you come just for Super Saturday, I mean, you show up to be entertained, not to develop a business. And if that's what you want, fine. But don't lie to everybody around you. Because this is a cheap ticket. $20 to see a full-blown motivational this, comedy show that. You know, I think I'm pretty funny, right? The philosophy has to be I always show because it's my biz and the only way to grow. When I make more money, I really get involved. No, I get involved now to make more money. The company market needs to get it together, get better. You know what? The market needs to get it together. Corporate office needs to get it together. Then I'll do something. What? Don't even make sense. I do personal development because I need to get better. If you were better, it wouldn't matter how bad the market or the company was. I have a 6-year-old, so I do randomly lick my tongue out at people. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. Make up in numbers what you lack in skill. It's all right to be a copycat as long as you copy the right cat. These are philosophies that took me to executive director in 6 months. With no business experience. From someone you would have never looked at and said, he'll be the next executive in the market. These philosophies took me there. 4 stages of knowledge. Learn knowledge. That's what you're doing right now. You're taking notes. This is important. Crucial. You got to do this stuff. You got to do it. Some people say, I don't need the rah-rah. Those of you that's here, do you feel like you only got rah-rah today? You feel like you got some great information? Something you could actually put into activity? Absolutely. So don't let that scapegoat happen. It's an arrogant excuse. That's all it is. It's an arrogant excuse to be lazy. I don't need all the rah-rah. You probably do. And then you have activity knowledge. That's when you take this information, go out and do something with it. But this is the trick. This is the trick. This is what messes people up. You're going to go back and forth between activity and learn knowledge. You're going to learn it, go do it, and you're going to mess it up. You're going to try everything I told you today, and you're going to absolutely destroy it. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. And that's okay. It was bad for all of us at one point. It's okay. But then you go back and learn some more. Go back to a training. Be like, oh, that's what I did wrong. And then go do it again. Mess it up. Go back, learn. Mess it up. Learn. Mess it up. Learn. Mess it up. Learn. Get it right. Ooh. Most people aren't willing to do the back and forth because societal-wise, we are taught to quit anything we're not good at immediately. If you're not good at your job immediately, must not be the job for me. We're easy to say it's not for me. No, you just need to work on it. You need to get better. It can be for you. Make it for you. You wasn't born and God was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make her good for legal shit. Nah, she's not for it. Everybody's for it if you want it. Make it happen. Make it happen. Most get frustrated and abandon activity the right activity for the new shiny idea. Squirrel. Every time you go back and forth and get frustrated, you like, you know what? Maybe I should be handing out flyers. Squirrel. It's a distraction. If you would have just went back and forth a little bit more, it would have caught. It would have caught. But you gave up. You tapped out. Don't be. Y'all saw the cartoon. I forgot. I don't even know. Was that Up? Don't be the dog at Up. Squirrel, just totally distracted by it. Don't do it. You'll destroy your business because every time you do it, you start over. That back and forth process starts over with a new thing that's not even systematic or workable. But it's new and it's exciting. You'll be excited and broke. I don't want that for you, okay? I don't want that for you. Modeling knowledge. Once you get that together, then you're worthy of being modeled. Then people could watch you and see that you do it properly, but you still may not be able to explain it. You still may not be able to train somebody on it, even though you do it right and you're having some success. Still be humble and bring them to the trainings and to the people that trained you in the process, but eventually you'll be able to train it and you earn the right to teach. Somebody here has team that said, I'm not going to make it, take notes for me and bring it back. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. They missed it. This training is for the people that was here. Even if they listened to the audio, they missed all the facial expressions. Even if they watched the video, they missed the one-on-one contact, the energy of the room. They missed that the people around us were still laser focused and we were all in. They missed it. It wasn't for them. That was their choice. But don't minimize my 11 and a half years and the effort I put into this training, into my language, into my work, by summing me up in a couple sentences to somebody who didn't even have the decency to show up. Don't insult me that way. Earn the right to teach. That's when you explode. Do it till it works. We have compound growth, which is residual, personal, and team, times geometric growth, which is team building. This is unlimited potential, everybody. This is why we're going to be able to have all those millionaires. Others have had success. Why not you? We create a new system. At what level? Why create a new system? At what level should you create a new system? I say never. Why recreate a wheel? It just doesn't make sense. Taprooting, I'm going to run through this real quick. You're going to, taprooting is a very huge part of, how many of you want to build a real deep, big organization, right? If you got a little time in the business, you'll appreciate this. If you're pretty new to the business, still take these notes. This part of your career is coming, okay? It's called taprooting. Please understand, in network marketing, your job is to be, your goal is to meet your people's people. Every time I bring somebody into business, I want to meet their people immediately, as soon as possible. Be so pleasant, so professional, and fun that they want to introduce you to their friends and family. That means you cannot be mean. That means you cannot be a boss to your team. That means you can't yell at adults. You can't, don't do the hardline thing, because they may take it, but they would never introduce you to people they love, because they don't know how you're going to treat them. They just won't. There's a thing called a base face. Some of you are mean and don't know it, so let me help you. There's a thing called a base face. Your base face is the facial expression you have when you're just really not thinking of anything. You're just existing. Some of us have a mean base face and you're not thinking of anything, but you look like you kind of want to kill everyone in the room. Okay. And it's important to work on that base face and get that together, because you don't realize you're repelling people. Sometimes, every now and again, when I call somebody on it, I'll be like, why you look so mean? I'm just thinking, well, you should think of something else. It looks terrible on you. You know what I mean? But I understand. I'm from Chicago. My goal was for my facial expression to repel people, because I wanted them to see me and see he's not a victim. Don't even do it. I worked hard on my mean mug. That's what we call it in the neighborhood. Right? But guess what? That's just baggage now. We don't need that anymore. I can actually smile. We don't need it anymore. So I want to talk, and if you don't know if you have a mean base face or not, this is how you know. If people constantly ask you, what's wrong? Do you need anything? You okay? Can I make you comfortable? That means you kind of probably look angry. Okay, so smile a little bit. This is the only way to build big. So worth the work, but it's not for the lazy, because you're going to meet people, you're shaking hands, you're kissing babies, you got a great attitude, and you're like, hey, you know what? Introduce me to your wife. Oh, hey, wife, how you doing? Great, nice to meet you. Oh, this guy's great. We're laughing. I'm building rapport quickly, and I want her to introduce me to her brother. Then I want her brother to introduce me to the cousin. Then I want the cousin to introduce me to the friend from college. And I want the friend from college to introduce me to that fine guy that she met over at the Starbucks that she really wanted to talk to. Right? I just hooked you up. That was funny. You know what I mean? And so, but I don't know which one of these are going to, all of them are important. All of them are special. All of them have executive potential, but only one of them may want to be an executive right now. So she wants to be an executive right now. She's ready. So I keep a hand on these. I check in. Boom, boom. I still want to meet their people. But I spend time with the right now. And in 6 months, he may be the right now. Does that make sense? And it's okay. Do I pressure you like, why don't you want to do this right now? Get it together, woman. No. No, because I got a right now to work with. She's still in the oven. You check it, not ready. You don't take it out the oven before it's ready. Some of you got associates, you need to just put them back in the oven. Now, you don't say, you didn't get ready soon enough. And you take it out, throw it against the wall. No. It doesn't kill you to keep it in the oven. It does nothing to you, but maybe damage your ego if you got a wrong perception on what makes you great. If your perception of awesome and success is perverted, then maybe you'll rush her and you will run her out of the business. Does that make sense? Find the ones that want it now and give them now attention. Everyone else, give them later attention, but still give them attention until they do something to not earn it anymore. Okay, great. Awesome. Dig deep, find a treasure. You only need four. Four take you to platinum. Platinum world is the goal. Platinum world is the goal. It's another world. Leave Earth. Why not? Obviously, we talked about the trainings earlier. Just make sure you participate in that personal development. Absolutely huge. This app is a game changer. Do not minimize this app. Apps are sexy. Lawyers are not. I'm not saying, you know, I didn't met a sexy lawyer too in my day. You know what I'm saying? But the concept of lawyers is just not. And why do I use the term sexy? Because when you want the masses to get involved in something in the U.S., it got to have some flair. It got to have something going for it. Does that make sense? Everybody loves apps right now. What do you do? Oh, I help people this app, actually. Wow, you work with apps? Well, not apps, just one. Well, what does it do? Oh, this app gives you access to lawyers all over the United States and Canada. Take a look. You don't have this on your phone? How do you not have the app? How do I get it? Hey, just, okay, what kind of phone? Look it up. Yeah, download it right there. Okay, great. Now you pushed it. You see that? Now all you got to do is register and you're good to go. How do I register? Oh, it's only $1 a day. Let's talk. Because now it's on your phone. And now they got a constant reminder of it's on their phone. They didn't even sign up yet. They got an icon looking at them in the face every day reminding them that of the lawyers they ain't got. They can't even use it. This is huge. This is a game changer. Oh, my God. This is exciting. This is just me. It's awesome. Okay. We're making more money. I need y'all to get as much of this money as possible before February is over. Okay? Talked about it. Not going to go over it. We talked about this the other day. This is the system, though. The system stands for save yourself stress, time, energy, and money. It's the only way to get a whole lot of people to do something. If it's not working for you, there's something you need to do better or something you need to do more. But the system works. If the recipe made it to the book and yours just don't taste right, do you rip out the page in the book? No. You take a look at what you did. Maybe you left it in too long, took it out too early. I grabbed the salt instead of the sugar. That'll mess it up. But something got messed up because the recipe works. We have success story after success story after success story that says just that. Nothing works, however, including the system, with a bad attitude. If you do all this with a bad attitude, don't even matter. Don't even matter. It ain't like the job where we could do that with the bad attitude. I have two more slides and we're done, everybody. Our founder name is Mr. Harlan C. Stonesite. And for majority of us in the room, he was way more than a business owner. He was a hero. And I'm jealous of people like Mr. Hall, who got real one-on-one time from him. I remember just talking to Mr. Stonesite on the phone, and it was like talking to the president. It was like I had to stand up. I was like, I'm not dressed for this phone call. I mean, I felt nervous. Because it's Mr. Stone Cipher. When you hear his story, what he'd been through, and the vision he had, not just for himself, but for everybody else. And I found it took his last breath in November. And I know many of us never considered what it would feel like not to have Stone Cipher around. It was a very emotional time for everyone, the whole country. Because it's a love there. These are our economic, our business dad. This is grandpa, you know? And it was heavy. So we did a lot of things in Arizona, but I put some thought into it. And I'm really into words, obviously. And I wanted to kind of break this. The name Stone Cipher was always so powerful to me. Right, Stone Cipher. Sound like he should be on a throne in Narnia or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, Stone Cipher of the North, right? This is what I came up with. A cipher is a noun, something of no value or importance. A person of no influence, a non-entity. There's a lot of definitions. These are the ones I pulled out. This is what was significant. This is what spoke to me as far as this. And I read this and I was like, that's not my founder. That doesn't sound like my founder at all. Then I looked up Stone. Completely, totally. Usually used in combination, like stone cold. A piece of rock quarried and worked into a specific size and shape for a particular purpose. Completely and totally for a particular purpose. To provide, fit, pave, line, face, or fortify with stones. To rub something with or on a stone as to sharpen, polish, or smooth. And when I thought about these two words and what they meant together, and I thought about the obscurity that Mr. Stone Cipher came from, he didn't come from money. Mr. Stone Cipher was the son of sharecroppers. First of all, I never knew there were white sharecroppers. We need to get our whole education together. I never knew that. I was at a big event. I was like, where? I just never knew. He always made the joke that the only time he had running water is when he ran to get it. Raised in a shack in Oklahoma. And when it snowed, he would look down and it would be snow built up at his feet. He didn't come from anything near about fancy. To end up being one of the 100 most influential men in insurance in this entire country. To not just be a millionaire, but a millionaire maker. Mr. Stone Cipher came from being a non-entity. He came from being of no value, a person of no influence, to being fortified, completely and totally invested in a cause. For a particular purpose, being sharpened, polished, and smooth. My question to you, Utah, are you ready to be polished, sharpened, and fortified for a purpose? If you identify with the first portion of my training, you may have felt like a cipher before. You may have felt like your opinion meant nothing. You may have felt like you were not important, a non-entity, if you will. We have all been there at some point. If it was at the job, if it was in a bad relationship, I don't know. But we've all been there. I know I have. Stone Cipher made this company to take individuals who wanted more and take them to more. Are you ready to have influence? Are you ready to add value? Are you ready to do more? Are you ready to be fortified? for a particular purpose and call. And the best thing about it is you don't have to do it alone. You're not running this thing by yourself. You have all of us saying, come on. And because you have workout partners that's on the same journey, they may even be next to you at times. But these are your dragons to slay, have no doubt. And you can. And this is how I know you can. I believe in genetic memory. I believe that we own where we're from. And I am of the Stone Cipher legacy. And you are too. In your business genetic makeup, you're millionaire. I travel your genealogy up far enough, I will get to nothing but millionaires and ringleaders. You are of Legal Shield royalty. And you didn't even know it when you were being recruited. You didn't choose where you were. But if I trace it up far enough, I know what it is. Nothing happens on accident. Everything happens for a reason. And Utah has a history of massive success. You have everything it could ever, ever, ever possibly take to get this thing done. I don't care if you was a cipher before. It's time to get polished. It's time to get strong. And it's time to be fortified for a particular purpose and cause. And that's you making your why a reality. I appreciate your time, Utah. Thank you for allowing me to share so much of myself. I hope you received it. I hope this is helpful. My name is Harold Branch. Thank you. Them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, so pretty. I'm too hot. Hot dance. Call the police and the phone. Dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too high. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too high. Am I bad about that money? Break it down. Girl, sent you hallelujah. Girl, sent you hallelujah. Girl, sent you hallelujah. Cause I'm self-funk, don't give it to you. Cause I'm self-funk, don't give it to you. It's gonna be on the 14th, Valentine's Day. The person that's coming in to train you is my mentor. This is a person that, long before I was RVP, molded me into RVP. This individual is not in my upline, but her and her husband are my uncle and auntie platinums. And you hear me say that all the time. Don't have any financial connection to me. But I randomly show up at her house and go in the refrigerator. Please understand, this is a woman that went from being a single mom, sleeping with both of her children on the floor and on public assistance, to earning over $80,000 in a month just a couple months ago. Her and her husbands are living legends in Legal Shield. You may even have... Did I put an S on husbands? Only one husband. One husband. Get me in trouble. You may even have their platinum training audio. And if you do, you already know. You got a superstar showing up. I need you all to double the size of this room for the woman that helped make me the man I am today. You have millionaire club member, platinum three executive director, $500,000 income earner, Miss Donnie Smith, coming into your marketplace. Okay, thank you. Get your ticket. A pleasure. My pleasure. Don't believe